I apologize that this afternoon you got to listen to me. You can blame Pastor. But this afternoon I wanted to be a little bit of an encouragement, but I did still want to give you a little bit of a challenge as well. Our scripture today, I'll ask you to turn to Proverbs 24. Proverbs 23. And while you're turning there, I wanted to talk about it. You have issues with small decisions that you make. And what I mean by that is there's a lot of things we don't take to the Lord in prayer, right? Myself as well. I don't pray and ask the Lord which fuel station I should go to go get fuel, you know. Me and my son, yes, we'll pray and bless the food before we eat, but we don't pray and ask God, should we go to Armando's or should we go to Ruby Tuesday's? So we do make a lot of decisions in our lives that we don't take to God in prayer. So are we making decisions that come from the wisdom of God or knowledge of God? And what my challenge to you would be, and I've said it to folks before, is if you are already reading through your Bible as you should be and studying as you should be, doing your daily devotions, whether that's a plan you have separate or something you've come up with, or one of the ones that Pastor has put together for us to go through, this would be an addition to that. I don't want you to replace one with the other. But I would challenge you to give a try of, there's 31 chapters in Proverbs. There's roughly 30 to 31 days in almost all of our months through the year. It's really easy to keep track, so if you mess up and you miss a day or you miss a week, you can just simply look at your calendar and be like, oh, today's the 18th, I'm going to read chapter 18. And give that legitimately a year. So through your regular reading, even with mistakes then, read through Proverbs 10 to 12 times in a year. And I promise you, well, God promises you, God's word will not return void. So the only way this won't improve your decision-making in small little areas that you think can be nonsensical or too minuscule to take to God, and that's why we don't pray about them a lot of the times, you will find that the consequences to your actions, as long as you're not just completely ignoring everything you read, you'll make overall better decisions. And you'll see good consequences come out of what seem like simple decisions, whether it's in money or friendship, work, relationships, and stuff like that. Just by adding that extra scripture reading to you. And I'm saying don't replace your regular Bible study with it. You want to start doing a Bible study in Proverbs, you can disappear. There is a wealth of knowledge there. And you'll lose. I have. You'll stop studying other stuff, and you can go really, really deep trying to chase knowledge into it. But just quickly, read through that chapter, whatever the date is, every day of the month. That's my challenge to you. And just see how much it changes your life, even in a year, small consequences. The ability to, especially in other people too, work relationships you may have, you see, oh, they're going to make this decision. I know where the end of that comes, and then you'll see it manifest itself after the fact as well. You can help remove that from your own life by making better decisions by doing something like that. Anyways, most of you should be in Proverbs by now. Proverbs 23, we're going to do 15 through 19. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thy heart in the way. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you today, and I ask you to help me as we go through this, Lord. You know I've been struggling with some other things and keeping my mind on track and helping me go through the scripture here and just give a coherent explanation from your scripture as we compare the two. And I ask that you help me be an encouragement to some folks both as a challenge, but also as we go through challenges, Lord. I ask you to calm my mind, help me speak well. Be a good representation of your word, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So Proverbs 23, 15 through 17 here. Let my son, or my son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. What I wanted to do is I wanted to take this section of Proverbs, I wanted to show you somewhere else in the scripture where essentially this whole story plays out now in long form. God has given us the short form of this, and the long form will be Habakkuk. It's three chapters. We're not going to read through the whole thing, so I'm going to give you a quick-ish synopsis of what goes on, and then we'll just go back to our original text, and then you'll see how that knowledge laid itself out even in the long-form version of it. So we go to Habakkuk. The entire book of Habakkuk is a conversation between him and God. He was a prophet of Judah around the 7th century B.C., and it's right before the Chaldean Babylonian invasion. In chapter 1, you have Habakkuk starts, he questions God. And I don't mean that necessarily in a negative way. He specifically asks God a question. Why are you allowing this violence, this evil, these injustices that are going on amongst your own people? Why are you allowing it? Why are you letting it go unpunished? God gives him a relatively straightforward answer in that God's response is that, well, I'm raising up the Chaldeans, and the Chaldeans are going to be the judgment, or enact that judgment on Judah. And then this is where like Habakkuk kind of asks an out-of-pocket question, if you will. If you have children, you've answered out-of-pocket questions before. Normally, those start with, you respond to your child with, what did you just say to me, type of thing. This is your normal out-of-pocket question. Habakkuk does ask one of these. Because then his response to God is, essentially, well, how can a holy God allow the wicked Chaldeans to be the judgment on what he's implying is the great holy nation of Judah? Because these clowns are wicked. How can they be the judgment? God doesn't give him the shut your mouth when you're talking to me, necessarily. But he does go then into the longer explanation of it. And so then that's when you get into chapter 2. I wrote down that's the five woes. It's really kind of like four. And then that fifth one, it is a woe, but that is kind of the verbal slap as well. So then you get, like I said, you get into chapter 2. So Habakkuk 2, verse 4 is, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. So woe number 1, I sort of grouped verses 6 through 8 here. God explains to the ones who are plundering, increasing their wealth unjustly, creditors are going to rise up and plunder them. And the plundered will then plunder those that cause the bloodshed, the violence, and the plundering of them. So he showed the cause and effect. This is what these people are doing. This is what's going to happen to them. Woe number 2 is verses 9 through 11. He explains to the covetous people who are building empires and houses through evil gain, that even the stones and beams, as it were, of the structures, are going to cry out in testimony against those folks, which, that kind of has a good, kind of lays out with, think of like government taking stuff from you unjustly to build something. So God shows the cause and effect, that even the things they build are going to testify against them for what they've done. Woe number three is verses 12 through 14. To the ones who build cities and towns through blood and iniquity. You'd say this would be the folks that are trying to conquer the whole world, we'll say, which can also be some of our governments. But to those people who are building the cities and towns with blood and iniquity, their labor is in vain, because then, end quote, verse 14, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So even as they try to conquer the whole world, they never can. It all belongs to God, and God's name will always be across it all. Woe number four, verses 15 through 17, to the people who are making their neighbors drunk so that they can exploit them or shame them. God will turn the cup of judgment back upon them and bring shame or violence in return to them. So again, the cause and effect of their sin and the consequences of it. Like I said, I put five because this fifth one, it is a woe. But as we read through it, you'll see why. So it's not exactly the same. This is verses 18 through 19 and sort of verse 20 as well. God talks to the idol makers who trust in lifeless, graven or molten images. They cannot speak or breathe. God essentially, let's be real here. What God does is God mocks them. God says to Habakkuk in different words, is how powerful can a God be if a human is the one that made the God? And then the human is going to worship the thing they made as though it's the God. How much power can this God have? And that's what God does. He mocks the idea to Habakkuk. Because then he ends it, God, with very much a statement. And that's what chapter 2, verse 20. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. He doesn't ask. It's not a suggestion. God makes a statement that I am the true God. I am in my holy temple. All will be silent before me. So that's why I put it as sort of the fifth woe, but it's also kind of the slap in the face. And I say that it's a slap in the face because our out-of-pocket question, as it were. God is, and I believe this, he's telling Habakkuk, you have essentially made the nation of Judah into an idol. You're worried about the economic unrest, the bad things that are going to happen. Essentially, how is this going to look that the wicked folks are going to be the judgment or the people you're going to use to judge our great nation of Judah? And so Habakkuk was making a bit of an idol out of, we are the holy nation. I wanted to know why you're letting sin get go away in our holy nation. Certainly. Third chapter is essentially the whole thing is just a prayer to God. Some have called it like a psalm. I don't think that's incorrect by any means, but and until you get to about verse 17 or 18, the whole beginning of that third chapter is Habakkuk is reliving the powerful acts of God. He talks about God splitting the earth and running rivers through it. God creating mountains. God dividing nations and driving humans all over the earth. He prays about telling in his prayer, reliving these great powerful acts that God has done. And then when we get down to verse 17, which is the end of the prayer. And the piece of scripture a lot of people do use a lot for encouragement, and rightfully so, is Habakkuk 3:17, 18, and 19 here. although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. And that's the end of the prayer there. So he started by praising God's awesome acts, and then explains the realization that he's had. It doesn't matter, really. All the crops can stop growing. We can have no livestock in the barns. It has a lot of definitions, but in this instance, it's reliving or retelling previous joy. Habakkuk was doing in the beginning of his prayer, talking about God's awesome power and the things. But also, I will joy in the God of myself. No matter what happens in our lives, no matter how bad it gets, all the explanations God has given as the woes point to different things that are happening around us. And Habakkuk finally understands that, or comes to that realization, and explains that I still have joy in my salvation. I worship the God, the most powerful being in all of existence, not a fake idol that a man made. And he is also the keeper of my salvation. So no matter what happens out in the world, I won't lose my salvation. It's for us, for our application. And I can always relive previous joy. Even if my life is so bad, the only joy I have is my salvation. I mean, goodness, that's a great joy to have. But even if that was the only thing, which is not true for any one of us at all, we all have more things to be joyful about than just our salvation. And I say it as though, like, just our salvation is a bad thing. It's an amazingly great thing. But we have more. Worshiping and serving a holy God, the most powerful being in all of existence who created this all for us, that he just asked a very disrespectful, we'll say, question to. And then God gave him a long, drawn-out explanation of, this is why. This is, it is my will to do so. And you are looking at this incorrectly. So, in the finish of it, now thinking about Habakkuk, that story, what's given to us, in complete context of it, quick breakdown of the complete context, we go back to our proverb, Proverbs 23, 15 through 17. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise. Habakkuk had this. Proverbs was written before Habakkuk was born. So this is scripture that he had. There's a strong possibility that when he came to the realization of what God was saying to him, that this scripture could have been on his mind. I'm not saying it was, but it could have been. So when I challenge you to read through Proverbs, because I know it can be tough, you're given so much information in, like, the shortest compound sentence a compound sentence could be. And you read 9 of those in one chapter. So it can be tough. But if you write these scriptures to your heart, you will be able to find the cause and effect in a huge situation like this, where a prophet is talking to God about the judgment and punishment of an entire nation, and God showing mercy and grace, and then even still explaining back. You'll always have your salvation. It's kept with me. So at a minimum, you'll always have that. That's not special or unique to Habakkuk. I'm glad this is a Sunday afternoon, because most of us are the church regulars. And that's why I said I wanted it to be an encouragement to you guys. If you're saved today, you have this, you should have this joy. You should be always able to go back to this joy, no matter how bad and nonsensical it happens out there. But even if you don't live in a situation where you're using these scriptures to make a lot of consequential stuff, you would be like, that's... Instead of that, you'd be like, yeah, well, I mean, I read about that. Proverbs 13. They should have seen that coming a mile off. It won't even surprise you anymore. And I do think, I don't think, I know, it would help most all of you. It's helped me many times over the years. Keep good relationships, or get rid of bad relationships, both work relationships I'm talking about. Doing my work, because, I mean, again, I don't always, I work in a secular field in athletics, in sports. I don't sit down, I'm not going to lie to you, I do not sit down and pray to God and ask him, how should I write my athletic plan this week? I may go to him when I'm having issues with a player or a team or a parent, but I don't take these small things, and I probably should, but individually take them to him. Having God's word written on your heart, that is nothing but mostly all cause and effect, will only benefit you unless you don't do it or you just flat out ignore it and do the opposite. So that is my challenge to you. Like I said, it was very simple. Simple piece of scripture, even though it's complicated. Explanation to the folks here. I don't know if I'm